Amen. Let's shout hallelujah. Let's shout hallelujah. Let's shout hallelujah. Father, we have come with grateful praise. We have come with thankful hearts. You are the reason that we are here. And we are thankful. We are grateful. Thank you so much. You take pleasure when your children come together to worship you. Father, thank you. May we continue to satisfy the pleasure and the desire of your heart. And may you continue to bless us as we gather before you. Have your way, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Receive all the glory and honor. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Turn to the person on your left, say, I thank God for you. And turn to the person on the right and say, I thank God for you. Tell them one more time, not only on Thanksgiving season, I thank God for you always. Amen. Let's thank God for our worship team. What God is doing. It is very, very, I don't know, it's very, very hard for me to think standing before you is just about church. It's about just coming to church and talking. I think personally, I've passed that in my life. I'm not excited about preaching. I'm excited about hearing from the Lord. And we come together because we want to hear from Him. And we want to be in His presence. So, whenever I stand here, it's just more than knowledge. Is very, what I share with you is something God has already shared with me, and I process to see what to be made public, what to be shared. So I want you to not take every time we come here the word as it's just a sharing, a preaching. It's God speaking to us, and God uses people. Amen. And one of my prayers has always been, like the, you know, Paul says, I am not attained, but I'm pressing forward, you know, towards the mark of that high prize. My prayer has always been what Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 9, where he says, I only do what I see my Father do. And of course, through that whole chapter, he talks about I speak those things I hear him say. That's my heart desire. Amen?
Amen.
And it's not easy because you might be here to celebrate Christmas, or you might be here to celebrate some things, and then the Lord is telling you to speak about something that is totally contrary to what you're trying to celebrate in the flesh. Amen?
Amen.
Obedience is the highest praise, greatest incense we can give to God. Amen.
Amen.
This morning, if you are a farmer, and that's your profession, that's what you live by, you spend your whole life planting, tilling ground, doing a lot of things. waiting for the time of harvest. Amen?
Amen.
The greatest expectation of a farmer is to look forward to the time of harvest, because that's the time of reward. Amen? Amen. For all his labor. If you own a business, or you're working for a business, you are an investor. Whether you're working 8 hours, 10 hours, you are investing into something. And at the end of that season, based on the contract you sign with the people, you expect a reward, because you've invested into that company. Amen?
Amen.
So reward times are supposed to be happy times. Amen?
Yes.
Paycheck times.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
So, harvest times are usually, through the Bible, are supposed to be joyful times. But in the things of the spirit, as it relates to the physical realm, if we don't understand harvest time, it can be a miserable time. For those of you that might not have been either following us on television, on Facebook, or gone through, just one example I want to give you about harvest time, before we go into some things, is Jesus told his disciples, before he went to the cross, we have come to harvest time. We have come to the season of the harvest. He says, we've come to the time where the Son of Man is to be glorified. And he says, except a corn of wheat goes into the ground and die, he cannot manifest his harvest, his fruits. Amen? So, but what happened during that harvest time was a mystery to them. And at the point, they were very miserable. They were very confused. Some of them were backsliding. The popular one, you know, those going to Emmaus, and they were so confused. And Jesus was among them, but they did not know. Amen?
Amen?
So spiritually, if harvest times, we don't gain understanding, we can be looking in the physical, and we can take what we're seeing in the physical instead of what God is saying to us. We can take what is in the physical, and we can lose the moment of understanding what God is doing. Amen?
Amen.
So, for example, every harvest time, the farmer will have to put in a sickle. You know what they call a sickle?
Mm-hmm.
That sickle is supposed to do a lot of harm to that. You're supposed to beat that thing until it separates the fruit from the chaff, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But look at what God did during the harvest time that confused the disciples. He used the cross as a sickle to separate the flesh from the spirit. The cross is a mystery. It's the wisdom of God, is the power of God, and it's what God uses to separate flesh from the spirit. When Jesus was to become the first fruit, the first manifestation of God's harvest, he was on that cross. Amen?
Amen.
And on seeing him on that cross, during that transition, was crying, was going through that travail, going through the mystery, everybody ran away. They were confused, they didn't understand it. But on the third day, when the first fruit started coming, and then on Pentecost, the first of the first fruits was on resurrection, then the first fruits was on Pentecost. The harvest started pouring in, but the transition was very deep to understand. The same thing Jesus talked about, a woman going through the time of harvest, bringing forth a child, has to go through transition. And it's a it's a mystery why a child and a mother to be separated so that the mother can see the beauty of this child has to go through birth pains. Amen?
Amen.
There was a separation in the physical that was to take place to bring the first fruits of harvest into God's kingdom when God was working with the children of Israel. It was a separation from Egypt into them coming into the purpose of the kingdom of God. What did God do? God was going to take them through the Red Sea. That's a baptism. But how did he do it? The Red Sea was shut. It was a closed door. And the enemy was coming. Amen?
Amen.
And God told Moses, that's my plan. That's my strategy. Just like he told Jesus about the cross. The cross is the plan of God for Satan's defeat.
Amen.
The cross is the plan of God for the flesh to die. Mm-hmm. But the cross, is the mystery of God for the restoration and the power of God to be revealed. Amen. Paul says that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. So the wisdom of God told Moses, go this way. And the way God told Moses to go did not make sense to man. So what happened as the children of Israel saw the enemy coming? Amen? They were terrified. They were terrified. And they cried for their life. Amen? But God told Moses, this is my strategy. Not only to dethrone Pharaoh, and he said in Romans chapter 9, but to show my power to the whole world. That Pharaoh is not that powerful. This is my plan. And Moses said, the enemy you see now, the Egyptians you see now, you will not see them again. How can that be? That's God's plan. Amen?
Amen.
Faith is the only way to understand that plan. And I share with you people last time, I was trying to bring us to how the people of old, according to Hebrews 11, they made and they did exploits. They saw wonders, they saw miracles, they experienced things because they walked by faith. Faith is the only way to be in alignment in understanding of God's strategy. Amen?
Amen.
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 So the things we're sharing in this season can only be received and understood by faith. So why did I mention harvest time? Because harvest time is the season we experience transition. There cannot be harvest without transition. You can't give birth to a child without transition. Transition is that separation time. Amen? Of what is being tied in the womb or what is being tied to a tree. That's why God uses the natural to explain the spiritual. So I want to say this over and over because our minds are very, we have, the mind is very short in memory. The mind lives in what happens today, tomorrow. You forget what was said 2 days ago. Unless we are reminded. America, as a nation, has come to harvest time. America is in the season of its harvest. God is trusting us with what he's doing. And it's revealing to us so that we will not be like those who fear and who are confused when we have understanding of the season. America as a nation has come to harvest time. A farmer plants something and he waits patiently for that to grow at different stages, fulfill the process of growth, Mark chapter 4, until harvest time. In the parable of the wheat and the tares, in the book of Matthew 13, Everybody here might probably know that by memory by now, because we talked a lot about it. It's the story of the mystery of how the physical explains the spiritual. We are not just human beings. We are spiritual and we have the flesh and blood. So we don't see everything that happens through human lenses. So this parable of the wheat and the tares is Jesus explaining the harvest seasons of nations, our personal lives, and the end of the world. So if you go to that story and read it again and meditate on it, you see that there came a time when the one who planted the seed, the wheat, decided it's time for harvest. Amen?
Amen.
And when he decided it's time for harvest, he planted wheat. So he said, what I have not planted has to be what? Uprooted. So that what I have planted is what I am going to what? Harvest. And the parable explains clearly what God did to bring about what he planted to be harvested. If you are a farmer, you planted apple, you planted orange. At the end of the day, you don't want to reap tons. You don't want to reap what you didn't plant. Amen?
Amen.
So you harvest what you plant. What you did not plant, you, the story says, you bundle them and you trash them. Or you make them hay. Amen?
Amen.
So, I want it to be clear that God is not a figment of human imagination. God is the creator of the universe. God made the heavens and he made this earth that we live in. And God did not plan when he was making it with any human being. It was the Trinity. And they've already finished their plan. And they started executing it from Genesis. And it is written here how they will finish it. No nation, no demon, no Satan. The Bible says, when he planted wheat, an enemy came and planted was tares. When harvest time came, did he put the enemy into consideration? He did what he ought to do. A farmer will come, he sees weeds where he planted tomatoes. What you were telling the weed to tell the farmer what to do? The farmer will clear out all the weeds so that the tomatoes can grow. Amen?
Amen.
So the Bible says, because God is long-suffering, in the book of 2 Peter, he's not long-suffering because he doesn't have power or he doesn't know what to do. He said he's long-suffering because of harvest. You know that, let me put it the way the scripture says. He's long-suffering because he's not willing that any should perish. He's not willing that anything that is planted to be apple fruit, that they will not mature and mature. Amen?
Amen?
He's waiting for all the fruit to mature and then he will harvest. He's not limited in power. It's not like he doesn't know what to do. Amen?
Amen?
So when it was harvest time, 400 years, Pharaoh held people captive. Pharaoh looked like he was God. He blinded the people. He put them in bondage. He taxed them. They looked like there was no God existing. When the time God spoke came, what did he do? He made Pharaoh look like a foolish king. Not only that, he not only made him look like a foolish, he drugged him like a man that doesn't even know wisdom and put him in the Red Sea. So, two things we want to establish before we continue. I'm talking to you by the Spirit from my heart. There is the system and culture established by Satan. The Bible describes as the atmosphere of Egypt. And there is a culture and a system the Bible also describes as the culture of Babylon. These two atmospheres that God, the Bible uses as types and shadows of the things of the Spirit. These two systems, one, the first system, the culture and the system of Egypt, was completely to remove the light of the knowledge of God completely from the children of Israel planted in Egypt. So, the way God deals with the first culture and the system is to completely break that power and bring the people out of darkness. And then God now begins to bring them into the culture and the system of the kingdom of God. That it can only be accessed by faith. Amen?
Amen.
Now, the difference between the culture and the system of Egypt and the culture and the system of Babylon is this. Because I can cover the two systems for you. But I want to get to something. The difference between those two culture and system is Egypt completely blinds you from the knowledge of God because Pharaoh looks so powerful. Pharaoh looks like God. And the bondage has taken place for generations. So all the people growing up for 400 years have adjusted their mindset that Pharaoh can never be defeated. So they are living in a worldly blind system. And they are completely taxing for the world. So the difference is that's under the influence of Satan. Babylon culture is the culture that imprisons believers. People that have already come out of Egypt, God has established them, but they become comfortable and they're living at ease in God's kingdom. They've lost who they are, and Babylon takes them and now gives them his culture. So these are believers who completely are living so worldly, and Mammon has become their God. That's what Babylon is. Perversion. Everything has been exchanged for the glory of God. So these two cultures, you see God says come out of them. Now, there are three levels. Let me just read this so that we can read it from the scripture. Let's open to Romans 12. Most times when you read the seven churches of the book of Revelations, you will see how Jesus was looking into each of those churches. And he was highlighting the various ways the enemy is taking advantage of the churches. Only two, Jesus did not find a problem with them. But the other five already were taken over by the atmosphere of the culture of Egypt and Babylon. Romans chapter 12 explained three levels we can desire with God. Verse 1, let's read from. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that we present our bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Then it says, and be not conformed. In other words, you've come out of Egypt. Don't go back to Egypt and prepare so that Babylon does not take you over. Amen?
Amen?
Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Transformation. By the renewing of your mindset. Minds. Thinking capacities. Lifestyle. That you may prove. In other words, that you may be able to discern. You may be able to prove that you can do your check. You can prove what is that good, what is what acceptable, and what is perfect will of God. So, three expressions of the spiritual life. Three expressions. The good, the acceptable, and the perfect. And you can graduate from good to acceptable, from acceptable to perfect. Perfect basically here, just for purpose of clarity, means established maturity in Christ. Ephesians says that we might come to the stature of the measure of the stature of Christ. Not being tossed to and fro. Amen? Because we have established who we are and where we're going. That doesn't mean you don't press on to knowing. So, these three capacities, these three atmospheres, good, perfect will of God. In the parable of the sower, the Lord ended the parable, the harvest. He ended the harvest, the parable of the sower, he ended the harvest by saying, they are good soils. This good, acceptable, perfect, and good soil. You have come to that good soil. But it says in that good soil, some produce what? 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. It's not saying that we measure our whatever. It's when we get to heaven, we'll see. But what it's saying here is, it's talking about the will of God. The will of God. There's a lot in my spirit. Okay. These three expressions of the will of God. God revealed and demonstrated that with the children of Israel in the natural. And then Jesus brought us to it in the spirit. So, listen to this. In the natural, God wants us to see things and understand it so we can work it out in the spirit. In the natural, these three levels are coming out of Egypt. Amen? That is called salvation. Amen? They came out of Egypt, meaning they came out of Pharaoh's grief, Pharaoh's everything, Pharaoh's that, all about Pharaoh and Egypt. They came out of Egypt, isn't it? But Moses says the only reason we're coming out is to go worship God in the wilderness. So they came out of Egypt, and of course, you saw Pharaoh was defeated. Then the next experience they had was an introduction of God on the Mount of Sinai. It's called Pentecost. Amen? That's when God was introducing them to the nation, to become a nation. Peter says we are born again, not by corruptible word, but by incorruptible word. And we are now being called into, we are a holy nation, a peculiar people, isn't it? So they came out of Egypt. Now they were introduced to who they are as a nation, as a kingdom.
They were introduced to the kingdom of God, to the plan of God, to the purpose of God, to the power of God, to the greatness of God, to the glory of God. They were literally, they saw, you know what happened on that mountain. So that was that. Then the next level, the first one is salvation. You come out of Egypt. The next one is knowing that you've come out of darkness into the kingdom of God. You've come out of darkness into light. You've come out of death to life. You've come into a new kingdom, a new nation, a new people. And that the God that you see his power, the baptism of the Spirit, the baptism of fire, all is telling you, I am your God now. Amen? Then the third level is Pentecost. It's a tabernacle. Here, God revealed himself to them. Told them who they are, their nation. This place, God gave Moses a blueprint that is inviting them to live with him, to tabernacle with him. This place is God's perfect plan for man. This is where God, this is the whole reason Jesus came. This is the whole reason he died. This is the whole reason a farmer plants a seed in the ground. This is God's perfect plan. Because here, everything God has ordained for you follows you. You have entered. Now, how does that work? There was a man that came to Jesus when he was ministering in the book of John. He says, his name is Nicodemus. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered unto him. He asked Jesus, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and says, truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So, they came out of Egypt, salvation. They were born. So, as soon as they were born again, they came to the mountain and they saw something they've never seen in Egypt. They saw God manifest on the mountain. Except a man be born again, I'm talking about the old, but Jesus is talking about the new. Except a man be born again, he cannot see. So the first is to be born again so you see. Amen? Amen. Now Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? This is not a foolish question. This man is asking reality because he's confused. Verse 5, Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. First is, except a man is born again, he cannot see. Except a man be born of water of the Spirit, he cannot enter. What is he talking about? I have to use some examples to explain this for you in the physical. So here's what happened. They got born again. They saw the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
When they saw the kingdom of God, God took Moses in the spirit the second time. And he says, he showed him something. He says, you see what I'm showing you now? Go build it according to the pattern in heaven. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
In the Old Testament is a type and shadow. And it was the tabernacle of God. So, God told him, what you see, build.
Amen? He built it. When he built it, guess what? The tabernacle was built here. Because it was the Old Testament, they were still dealing with blood of bulls and goats. One man, every year, type of Christ, high priest, enters into that thing. Born again, you see. When you see, you enter. Where did he enter? One man, one time every year, he enters into the Holy of Holies. So, Jesus comes, destroys Satan's power. What did he destroy? The very veil that was cast upon Adam by sin, where we lost the ability to see what Adam was seeing before the fall, the experience he was having. He went beyond that. This time now, it's not just to experience God here. Jesus came, God came in the flesh, paid the price here, became the first of the first fruit. What does that mean? First of the first fruit, high priest, to lead us as types and shadow into this. What did Jesus do? On that cross, he died. And the Bible says he tore that Old Testament veil. He tore the veil in the physical. He tore the veil in the spirit. What is that veil? The veil that Satan has put over the eyes of the world. The veil that separates us. The veil that he put in the Old Testament to block the people from going into that place. So what did he do? He tore the veil. So now when we're born again, we experience the Spirit of the Lord. And because we experience the Spirit of the Lord, from the moment you're born again, do you know that Jesus has now made a way for us to enter into God? Tabernacle means the manifestation of the kingdom of God, His glory. He says, Jesus has made a new and a living way through His veil that now we can go into what? Holy of Holies. My brothers and sisters, why did I talk about the cross as a mystery? The cross is God's sickle to kill the flesh and to purge the soul. You see, Jesus has died and made a way for us here. Amen? But this is what is going on. Here, we are no more to walk with God after the flesh. Amen? Jesus didn't make a way for this person, like the Old Testament high priest, to go into the Holy of God. He made a way for this person, Nicodemus. He was telling Nicodemus, the one now that is what? Born again. The spirit man that is in us by supernatural act of God. Amen? That man is the one that is born again. That man is the one now that God is revealing through His word, the power of the Spirit. Paul says, as we behold Him, we go from glory to glory. That man, that spirit man, as he grows, as he sees, as he matured, enters here. The high priest comes here in the Old Testament once a year. Only once a year. But Jesus made a way for the spirit man, the moment you're born again, to go into here 24/7. Every second of the day. But why? Because here, I want to show you something, is the finished work. It's what Jesus died for. It's what He came. That's the whole reason. That is God's perfect way. It's okay. It's goodwill. It's okay, it's acceptable will. We still produce fruit. But why did He say the perfect will? He's calling us to the place of maturity. Because in this place, our flesh is no more doing the work. This is the place where the few people that get here have entered into what the Bible calls absolute surrender. Now, why is that important? In every generation, God has a purpose, a way to harvest for every generation, to do the harvest for every generation. The Bible says there is a generation after Pentecost, and there's a generation that will come. Jesus said it. This generation will see the last days. He says this generation will have the characteristics of the days of Noah. And so the way God will harvest that generation will be like the days of Noah. So what does that mean? Jesus says that generation will be so overwhelmed by the things of this world, the spirit of Egypt and the spirit of Babylon, that he's talking about us in church. He's not talking about the world now. Because he says the virgins will wake up. But he says they will be so overwhelmed by the mindset of Egypt and the mindset of the culture of Babylon that the things that are coming will come upon them unawares. And he says, let me use the days of Noah to give you an example. Amen? He says, like in the days of Noah, we all eat. Jesus was, he ate when he talked about. So he's not talking about no marrying or eating, no, but he's talking about giving ourselves over to those things and losing the sensitivity of the season. Amen? So he says they will be so overwhelmed by the culture of Egypt and the culture of Babylon that it will come upon them unawares like the days of Noah and like the days of Lot. So what does that mean? Let me tell you what the days of Noah look like based on what I just shared with you. Amen? In the days of Noah, you see, what I shared with you was the Old Testament, they came out of Egypt, they experienced Pentecost, and then they had the tabernacle, God with them, they entered into the ark. New Testament, we're born again, and Jesus causes us now to experience the Holy Spirit. There are some people here still, there's a veil, they don't believe the Holy Spirit exists. But some have believed. You experience the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit simply means the gifts of the Spirit. That doesn't mean the people speaking in tongues have love. Because he says, you can speak in tongues, you can do, you have no love, it's still nothing. Okay. So we experience the Holy Spirit here. But here, Jesus is saying, this is the whole reason I came. I've invited you to sit with me in the heavenly places. My brothers, when Jesus says to the woman at the well, the time will come that those who worship him in spirit, will worship in spirit, he was talking about this experience. When you worship, your flesh doesn't cross the ceiling when it comes to the things of God. It's your spirit, man. Mm-hmm. Amen? So now, using those two illustrations, how does the day of Noah fit into that? Noah was a type and shadow. What happened in the days of Noah? God revealed to Noah his plan for that generation by faith. And when God revealed it, it was like Noah experienced a born again. He was able to see the plan of God. God says he was a righteous man in his time. Amen? He had right standing with God. He was walking with God. Listen, my brothers and sisters. The days of Noah, if you all remember a message I preached one time, running with the champions. One lesson the days of Noah taught us is that one man can make a difference. One church can make a difference. One family can make a difference in a whole generation. So in the days of Noah, what happened? Noah saw. And then what did this? He came here, he built the ark. Amen? And the ark was finished It was made available. That generation was invited to enter the ark. Why the ark? Why Christ? Why Jesus? Because that was the only way, the only thing that cannot be shaken, the only thing that cannot be defeated, the only thing that cannot fail, the only thing that cannot fall, the only thing that can survive everything that God will shake in this world was the ark. And the good thing about the ark is God also revealed in the ark is all the provisions you need to survive. So God built it, established it through Noah. And then God invited the whole generation to come into the ark. Why did he refer to that generation? Why did Jesus refer to our generation that would be like the generation of Noah? Because this place is now available. The place of worship, the place of living in the presence of God, the place of dwelling, the place of hearing, the place of enjoying the kingdom is being made available. But guess what? A lot of people are still content with here. Some are content with here. The reason why this place is very important now is because our generation will experience a shaking. Amen? Now, if I say our generation, that's far-fetched. If I say end time, that's far-fetched. Let me be transparent about now. I started by saying America has come to its harvest time. My brothers and sisters, if you don't understand what is happening from all that we've been speaking, what you see right now happening in America are the full signs of every nation that God brought to the harvest time. What you see happening right now is the full sign of every nation God has brought to the time of harvest. And I explained to you, the time of harvest is when God separates the wheat from the tares. It's the time when God harvests souls into the kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
So America has come to that season. You can look at it from the normal Egyptian eyes or from the Babylonian eyes, and you will be confused. But if you look at America based on what Jesus said about the kingdom, you will not be confused. Because harvest time is when the farmer says, my time has come. And now because it's my time, I am going to uproot what is not mine, and I'm going to harvest what is mine. And I'm going to do with it what pleases me. So God's heart and compassion for America has come. And this season, God's time has come to bring about salvation to the nation.
Amen.
God wants to use America as a platform of his glory. He wants to use America as a platform of end-time release of his purposes in the earth. And so what God is doing is now the beginning of the shaking. And the purpose of the shaking is, one, so that those who are in the ark will stay in the ark. Those who are not in the ark will go in the ark. What's the ark? I just explained it to you. The ark is the finished work of the cross, which is the glory of God that Jesus has come to give to us. Amen?
Amen.
God is calling us to a time of living a life of worship. A life of seeing everything through the word of God. I promise you, my brothers and sisters, let me be honest with you, I am not even deep with this house. I prayed about so many things. I'll say, should I share this? Yes, share. But I realize even this level that we're sharing is still heavy. My brothers and sisters, CNN will never tell you what is on God's heart.
Yes, sir.
The word will never tell you was that those can only speak for Egyptians and speak for the Babylonians. You cannot be a child of the kingdom and live by Babylonian breaking news and Egyptian breaking news. These are the depths of deception because they all have agendas. The only person that will not lie to you and has never lied, he spoke it from Genesis and he spoke it to the end, is the Bible, is the Word of God.
Hallelujah.
And it says, if you believe on this, you will never be shaken. So, we have come to a harvest season. I'm encouraging every one of us. Four things we need to do in this season. Remember, we talked about the book of Esther. I know a lot of us have forgotten to meditate on that. It's just human. We have short memory. But we'll soon appreciate that when the time comes. Four things you can maintain in this season as a lifestyle. And these four things will cause you to start experiencing God in this level will cause you to start having encounters, having revelation, having visitation, having experiences, and God is going to stabilize you because God, Jesus has made the way for healing. Amen?
Amen.
What are the four things? Number one, Joshua chapter 1. God told Joshua, the only way you can overcome and fulfill my plan for you is to meditate on my promises. Keep your eyes on Jesus. It doesn't matter the situation you're going through. It doesn't matter the circumstance. It doesn't matter what you're going through. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And you walk on water. God promises will be before you. Keep your eyes. Meditate on the word. That's number one. Number two, all this is from Matthew chapter 6. Number two is giving. Give yourself to the plan of God for you. Give yourself to the purpose of God in this hour. This is not a time for you to still be, we are in the world, but we are not of the world.
Yes.
This is not a time to build the kingdom of this world.
Amen.
This is a time to build the kingdom of God. Begin to find your purpose in the church, in the body of Christ, and begin to align yourself with building things relating to the kingdom of God. That's why you are born into the kingdom, is to grow the kingdom and glorify God in the kingdom.
Amen.
That's where your reward comes from. One, meditate on the word. That's Jesus. Number two, give yourself as a living sacrifice. Accepting a life of giving. Every time we talk about giving, people's mind go to money. And sometimes it's true because money has become a god. So, meditate on the word. Give yourself as a living sacrifice to the purpose of God for your life. Number three, a life of worship and prayer. Personally, priority and corporate. Begin to devote time to that. And then number four, begin a lifestyle of fasting. My brothers and sisters, fasting is a mystery. Is the only way your soul is brought into subjection and purged, uprooting. Read Isaiah 58, that will answer that. So four things you can maintain as a lifestyle and will keep you in the sacred place. I've named them. Now, why did I name these things? You think, I'm already doing, if you're doing them, you're staying in the ark. Why is this four things very important at this season? If you read the scriptures I mentioned to you,
you will see how critical it is. My brothers and sisters, there are things inside of us that we don't know until pressure comes. But these four things I mentioned to you, you don't have to wait for pressure. These four things will expose them. These four things will cause you to surrender to the cross. These four things will cause God to take it out of your life. It's called carrying your cross daily. If you do these four things, you are carrying the cross. Amen. Your flesh will never rule you. And fear will never dominate your life. Amen. And you walk in victory. No matter what you go through, sickness, you will always overcome. You will endure until you see full victory. It happens. You cannot be defeated because you've given yourself to God. Now, why is it important to do those things? The Bible says that David, there's a reason why David, it was mentioned. The Bible said David worshiped God seven times a day. The Bible itemizes things that David did like a lifestyle. The Bible says Daniel prayed three times a day. There's a reason why he said it. Paul says, I fast often. There's a reason why they mention these lifestyles. The Bible says Jesus will go out and pray alone sometimes. He spent time a lot in prayer. That's Jesus. It's called quality time with God. You know why it's important? And I want to summarize with this. Egypt and the culture of Egypt, Babylon and the culture of Babylon, the whole plan of Satan for Egypt culture, Babylonian culture, is to make sure these four things never are consistent in your life.
Right.
The reason people don't read the Bible is because Egypt is already programmed to make sure you don't. The reason people don't give, Egypt has programmed you to live for self and depend on self. The reason all people don't pray is because if you live for self, you have everything that your flesh can give you, you depend on you and money, and not on God. You lose dependency. God took them through the wilderness to teach them dependency on God. Because when problems come, they don't have to fear. They know who their source is. The reason God is calling us to fast, just practical. You will never be afraid of lack of food. Anyway, the fall of man started from eating the wrong food. Amen?
Amen.
So fasting will purge you of all the things the Laodicean church depends on. They were so comfortable, the Bible says, they had turned their comfort to say, we have God. And Jesus says, you are poor and miserable and wretched. Eating the food of Babylon and Egypt will make you believe a lie. And that is the program of the culture we live in either Egypt or to keep us. So you must be intentional. Everybody say intentional.
Intentional.
Intentionality is what the Bible calls the lifestyle of a believer. If you do these things, don't worry about God's part. You will just grow from glory to glory. God will set you free from things that your soul you couldn't come out of. And then finally, you see, when I got married, before I got married, I had a lifestyle. I literally live in the church. I live in prayer. My life was so focused on so many things. Now I have a lifetime partner. Amen? Super honey. Amen? So what happens? I cannot just say, I'm married. Let's just keep. We come to church every day, we pray, we do things. We are doing all that, but that's the call to serve God together. That's the call to do things together. But we have to develop, one, to be able to, for me personally, to invest into our life, I have to establish a quality time. And one of the quality time I establish is on Thursdays, dedicated just for her. We have so many other times, but she needs to know on Thursdays, he just made this time for me. You know what? We talked about altars in the book. The purpose of having altars at home is not to put candle and put all this incense everywhere. That's nonsense.
is for you to have a place where you say, God, I'm not doing it because it's a ritual, but I want a place where I know when I come there, it's quality time. And it's a pattern. It's an altar. It's your time with God. You block everything out. These four things I listed to you, if you're not intentional about devoting time to be with God, to do these four things, Egypt and Babylon will never allow it. And that's the difference between those who walk in the good, acceptable, and perfect. That's just the difference. Distraction. So today, again, I'm calling you into the ark. I'm calling you into the ark. America is in the harvest time. And you don't want to be caught outside the ark. There's fear outside there. There's more fear coming. The nation is the most uncertain a nation has ever been. I don't want to say things that will frighten you. But in the ark, there is no fear. In the ark is only promotion. God is calling you into his presence. And I pray that you take this seriously as we celebrate and thank God for what he's done. Amen?
Amen.
Keziah, please come and lead us. Let's pray into this and then make it.
God bless you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Shall we pray? Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. One more time. Lord, lead me out. Today,
yes,
that none of us that have heard your word today will be left on a level that doesn't move us forward.
Amen.
That none will fall along the wayside.
Amen.
That none will be consumed by the Babylonian system of this world.
Amen.
Lord, that the things that entice us, the things that distract us,
yes,
the things that confuse us, will just fade away.
Amen.
That our attention will be clearly on you.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for the gift of salvation.
Yes.
We thank you for the knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Forgive us, O God, when we are so comfortable and used to this, that we do not stop to contemplate the blessing and the glory of the cross.
Yes.
Today we thank you for our salvation.
Thank you.
We thank you that we shall make it. We thank you that the blood has guaranteed us heaven. But Lord, we choose today to take a step from that first level to the next level. Let the Spirit of the Lord be poured out upon us like never before. May we see you, O God, move in this place. Move in our lives, O God, in this season like never before. In the name of Jesus. So we thank you, Father, that you are taking us to the next level again. Where we'll dwell in the presence of the Lord. Today we ask for garments of praise. We ask for the spirit of intercession. We ask for the Lord to baptize us afresh. That we'll be people of prayer, people of the word, people of the spirit, people, oh God, that flow with you in the name of Jesus. Everything of the flesh, Father, have mercy upon us. Strip it from us, oh God. those things that make us focus attention on ourselves, on the things around. Oh God, help us to put our gaze upon you. For out here there is shaking. Out here there is danger. Out here, oh God, the floods are rising up. But Lord, we run to the ark again. Father, cover us. Even as we sing in this place, Jesus, cover us under the canopy. Give us security. For we are the righteousness of God. Our righteousness is not of ourselves, oh God. There's nothing good in any of us. Oh God, is only in you. So show us mercy. Show us mercy. Show us mercy. May your grace prevail over our lives. We can make it only by your grace. Take us by the hand, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We receive, oh God, that you have spoken to us tonight, to this afternoon. We receive with thanksgiving, oh God. And we thank you that we will indeed be people of the word that will meditate, even as you've told us. We'll be people, oh God, that will move forward. We'll spend quality time with you. Father, there's so much distraction. Oh God, there's so much busyness. Still our hearts. Still our hearts, oh God. And Father, we ask that you even help us. Holy Spirit, you are our helper. Remind us when it's time. Just, Lord, give us a nudge. May the Spirit of the Lord just awaken us, even at night, oh God, but we can only do it by your grace. So help us, Father. So we commit to you as individuals, as a family, as a church. We say, Father, by your grace, we'll move forward. In the name of Jesus. And as we stay in that secret place, in the Holy of Holies, may we see you like never before. Open our eyes that we may see who Jesus is for each of us individually. Not just what we've been told and taught. May we have a revelation of you. Let dreams and visions come, O God. Let the word of God bring life to us, O God. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for what you started to do. These four things we've been told today, only you can help us. You are our helper. And we look to you. Blessed be your name. Touch the heart of each one here, oh God, and do a work. Lord, we came here. Some of us just came to church. We just walked to church as a habit. But do something today. That when we leave this place, we'll be turned into different men.
Amen.
We'll be turned completely into men of God. Let the fire of God take over our lives.
Amen.
And the power of God fall upon us.
Amen.
And the anointing from on high fall upon us.
Amen.
That will represent you well in this season. And that we will be kept by your grace.
Yes.
Thank you, our Father.
Thank you.
Blessed be your name. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.